You can all turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 6. It's Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 6. This is the scripture reading for today. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he had said. Come and see the place where he lay." Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that on this morning, again, you reminded us ever so tenderly, but so convincingly, that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is risen. We thank you, O Lord, because sometimes we find that we, like Mary, we, like the disciples, were not willing to believe, that we were slow to understand and appreciate. But we thank you, O Lord, that nevertheless, you bear with us, you understand, and nevertheless, you keep asking us to trust in you. Thank you, O Lord, because we know that you love us. Help us, O Father God, to see the Lord Jesus in the light of your word. And help us, Father, to commit our lives more and more to you. Father, in your own very special way, use this familiar passage, the familiar words, and bring new meanings, deeper understanding, so that we may grow in likeness of Christ. All this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We hope that you will take time to read the passages about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter which gospel account you turn to. They all talk about the same awesome event. They give you slightly different perspectives, but they are all one and the same truth. In a nutshell, it doesn't matter which gospel account that you are reading from, the message of the angel to the women who first came to the tomb embodies the full meaning of Easter for all of us. Very succinctly, come and see. Come and see, that is the message of Easter in a simple statement. We get those two words from the passage that we have just read, verse 6. Come and see. What are we supposed to see? Come and see that the Savior is risen. You and I and the whole world no longer have to be fearful of death anymore, because Jesus faced death and he overcame death for us. You and I no longer have to be under the tyranny and the guilt of sins anymore, because Jesus died for you, and he died for me, and he died for the sins of the whole world, and he overcame that. Now, for those who are believers in Christ, there is no longer any eternal condemnation from God. Come and see. See what? Come and see for yourself. Come and check it out for yourself. It is an invitation. In fact, if you look at the passage very carefully, you find that, you know, the angel did not really so much describe the resurrection. They gave the disciples, they gave the women a very clear, simple, and powerful command, an order. The command is for them to go and see for themselves. So often, we have forgotten about this command. Command from God, invitation from Christ to come before him, to approach him. Why? Because there are just way so many things in this world that kind of stops us from coming to God time and again. And because we do not take time to come to God, we do not take time to approach the cross, we find that very often we understand less of the meaning of Easter. We experience less of the power of God's grace. Today, God is telling us the same simple command again, to come and see, to come and check him out. Why the command to the women? What stopped them from coming? When you think about it, you know, we really have to give the women a lot of credit because it wasn't easy for them to be at the graveyard that morning. It wasn't easy for them to be there because they have way too much fear to overcome. First of all, they found themselves in the graveyard. It was a place that was inhabited by dead people, dead bodies. It was a very, very spooky place. I tell you, I'm not easily scared most of the time. But I can remember that the one time that almost scared the death out of me was that, you know, when I was going through seminary, I have to, you know, take on a cleaning job, cleaning the library to supplement my tuitions. And the job had to be done by 6 in the morning, 6 a.m. So usually I would wake up very early and, you know, I would walk to the seminary. But on the way, I have to pass through a cemetery. And one day, one of those late autumn mornings, probably about, you know, 4:30 or 5, as usual, I was walking through this cemetery. And all of a sudden, out of the ground, pop ahead and say, good day. And I froze. I thought I wanted to turn my head, you know, to look at, you know, where the sound came from. I couldn't for a few seconds. And, you know, the expression of fright must have been very, very, you know, visible on my face. And immediately, you know, I heard another voice saying that, you know, oh, we're here to, you know, have an early start. And then, you know, I look around, you know, there, you know, there was already a hole dug, a deep one. They were finishing their preparation for a burial early that morning. I couldn't see them because it was quite dark. And this graveyard, you know, this grave was very close to the fence and obscured by trees. And no wonder I didn't see anything, you know. Graveyard can be a very frightening and spooky place. And the women found themselves there, and no wonder they were anxious and they were also afraid. Second, they were also afraid of the government, the authorities. You will recall that if you read Matthew chapter 27, it is very clear that, you know, in order to make sure that the body of Jesus lied and remained in the tomb, the governments, the authorities have sealed the tomb. It means that, you know, unless you have a direct order from the higher authorities, anyone who trespass into this tomb would be caught and would be punished. So the women, what were they to do? They have no legal authority to enter into the tomb. They were also very frightened because the tomb was guarded by soldiers, and not just any soldiers. If you read Mark chapter 15, you find that they were soldiers from a certain class, a certain division, from the Praetoria. These are the best soldiers in the Roman army. They were mainly trained especially to fight, to kill with spears, swords, knives, and even to fight with their bare hands. And they have always the order to kill first and ask questions later. So the women also had the soldiers to contend. And then finally, there was also the huge giant boulder. Sealing the tomb was this huge piece of stone, about 4 tons in weight. And to push it open, you have to slide it up against an incline. The women did not have the strength to do that. Who was going to move that piece of stone away? Not the women, not the soldiers, and definitely not the disciples who were at that time hiding away in houses. But despite all this fear, despite all these things that hinder them from coming to the grave, the angel of the Lord appeared and encouraged Mary and her company to come and see. And the thing is that, you know, the women did not hesitate at all. They left and they forgot the things that caused them fears. They forgot about their worries and their anxieties. And they obeyed the command from the angels, and they kept coming to the tomb and obeyed the angel's invitation. It is also the same invitation and the same command to you and I today. Do not miss this important word. It is a command, an order from God. An invitation from the risen Lord to come to the tomb and check him out. Yourself, myself. Jesus had many occasions, you know, invited people to come to him. And now he's issuing the same command to the women. And he's issuing the same command to you and I. Have you remember occasions when you wanted to come to the Lord because you know that God was inviting you, God was urging you, but somehow something else held you back? Can you remember one of those times or one of those many times when you came to the Lord, but later on you turned back? We live in a world and in a society that has way too many things stopping us from coming to God time and again. And every now and then we have to take this command seriously, to come to God, to wait, to hear him out, to check for ourselves, and to recognize what he has done and what he is doing. Every now and then, you and I have to come to the Lord just by obeying his command. There are way too many things, if we are honest, that stops us from coming to the Lord. It may be that we are too busy. It may be that we are too sad and we started blaming on God, you know, and then we slowly grow cold and got away from God. It may be that, you know, we have our own empire and our own ambition and agendas. It may be that, you know, we are just too tired. And it may be that simply we do not want to have anything to do with God. Whatever reason it is, it stops us from coming to the Lord. But I hope that today you and myself would again relearn the lesson and take hold of this invitation to come to the tomb, come to face the Lord Jesus, come to a beginning of a brand new relationship with God. If you are not already a believer, God waits for you. He wants to bless you with an intimate knowledge of himself. And he says if you would but come to him, he would give you a brand new, exciting, lifelong relationship with him. You would never have to walk alone again. But maybe, you know, every now and then it happens to all believers that we have indeed come to the Lord some time ago. Probably 20 years ago, or maybe just 2 months ago. But somehow something else happened, and we stopped coming to the Lord again. And God says, it is time to come again to him, to renew that relationship, to come to God and say, God, I'm not quite sure what happened, but I have strayed away from you. And now I know that you are asking me, telling me, ordering me, encouraging me to come back to you and take that invitation seriously. Jesus says, come to him. Come to him, and we would find rest in him. So if you know that God is tugging away at your heart and he's telling you what to do right now to come to him, you need to obey. I need to obey. We need to swallow our pride and be honest with God and say, God, you know, for some time, maybe I have never really paid you attention. Forgive me. Let me put that away. Let me put that aside. Let me be honest with you, with myself. And let me come to you, especially if it is the very first time in my life. And then we also ask God to help us to repent, you know, turn away 180 degrees from our sins, from what we know is unpleasant to God, and ask God to give us brand new power and brand new love to obey him. And we also have to learn to trust in Christ. Previously, we are in control of our own lives, and now, because Jesus says, come, I am your new boss, I am your new master, let us come and put all our confidence and trust in God. But whatever it is, have you come to the Lord? If you have not, It is time to do so. And if you have, but somehow found that you are not as close to God as you were before, and Jesus says, again, the same thing, come. We said that there are two important words. One is come. The other one, again, taken from the same verse, is to see. Come and see the place where he lay. That's part of the invitation of the angels. When we go to the empty tomb, what do we see? Like the women and like the disciples, we would first and foremost find something terrible, something horrible. We would see for ourselves the horror of sin. We would see that, you know, it is not a pleasant, not a pretty sight. We see an empty tomb, but the reason why it is empty is because Jesus, the Son of God, died for us, and God resurrected him. Jesus had to die in order to be resurrected. And the reason why Jesus died and was crucified was because of your sins, of my sins. It's not so much because of the Jewish people, not so much because of the Roman soldiers, not because so much of the people who turned against him, but because of all humanity, you and I included. Because we are sinners, because we have rebelled against God, because we have disobeyed God, because we have shunned God. That's why Jesus had to die. We see for ourselves that, you know, in the empty tomb is the reality of the horror and the punishment and penalty of our sins. So Isaiah long ago prophesied, but Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are made whole. We are made okay with God and by God again. We see that if we would come to the Lord Jesus, the very first thing that we might see is the penalty, the guilt, and the horrible nature of your sinfulness and of my sinfulness. And that is a good place to start. But if we come, we will see also a second thing. We will see that in the empty tomb, it is a reminder that one day you and I may also end up in the same way unless Jesus comes in our lifetime. All of us would have to die. All of us would have to die. Jesus died, and God raised him from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. If you and I were to die today, a week from now, a month from now, are you certain, are you confident where you are going? We may all want to go to heaven and see God face to face, but are we sure we can get in? By whose name? God would ask us. We come and we see the empty tomb, and Jesus says, you know, be mindful that all human beings have to die. We are all mortal. But after death comes judgment, resurrection, and for those who are believers, eternity in God's presence. It is an empty tomb, but it is also a promise. A promise that because the tomb is empty, you and I have a place in the book of life, if we would come. It also reminds us that, you know, when we come and see the empty tomb, we find for ourselves that Jesus is no longer there. The tomb was empty because Jesus rose again. And the very fact that Jesus rose again shows us that he is the Son of God. Only God could have done such a miracle. Only God could have caused Jesus to rise from the dead to overcome death, and you and I no longer have to fear death. If we come to the tomb and see for ourselves, check it out for ourselves, you would also find that in the empty tomb is also another promise. The promise that you and I are going to rise with him. Because Jesus rise, those who are with him one day also shall rise. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says that, you know, Jesus came to the world to save, and he says very clearly and explicitly, to save completely, to save completely. Meaning that, you know, he not only saves us, saves our soul. He not only saves us from a sinful, dying, decaying world, but he also saves our body. And one of these days, you and I, we don't quite know how, when, but it doesn't matter. You and I are going to see this promise completely fulfilled, that we would inherit a brand new glorified body. You know, it is always sad and difficult to bury people around Christmas time. Actually, it is always sad and difficult to bury people at any time of the year. But as believers, we realize that, you know, the body that we no longer see one day would come in a brand new form because of the power of God. This is part of the promise of life eternal, part of the promise of the hope of salvation that God gives to all believers. In the empty tomb, and only in the empty tomb, do we see the full resurrection of believers. We thank God for that, and I want to encourage you to read together the words of hope in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, you and I, if we are people of God, we have this promise. Let us read ever so slowly so that the words that we hear would sink in. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who died or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let me close with this story. It is a bedtime prayer that many of us grew up with. A father knelt beside his little girl's bed. It was time for prayers, nighttime prayers, hugs and kisses and tugging in. And the little girl began, you know, the childhood prayer that she had been taught so many times before. And she prayed these familiar words, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I prayed you, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray you, Lord, my soul to take." Very simple, but very trusting prayer. Perhaps some of us still remember it and can memorize it. Only that on this particular night, you know, she got a little bit confused and there was a little bit of a messed up. She prayed, "If I should," let me start from the beginning, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray you, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should wake before I die." Instead of "if I should die before I wake," she prayed, "If I should die, if I should wake before I die." And all of a sudden, the little girl, embarrassed, she stopped. She said, "Oops, Daddy, I messed up." And you know what Daddy said in this story? He said, "You know, not at all, honey. In fact, that is probably the first time the prayer has been prayed properly. That is probably the first time the prayer has been prayed properly. You see, my dear, my deepest desire for you is that you may wake up before you die." You may wake up before you die. Wake up before you die. Too many people died without waking up. Without waking up to the reality that Jesus, the risen Lord, wants to give them life eternal. Without waking up to the understanding that God, our Creator, walks with us. Without the opportunity of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior and Master. Too many people died without first spiritually waking up. You know, if you're already spiritually asleep, tired, it is a good time to come back to God and say, "Jesus, I heard what you said to the disciples, come and see for yourself. I'm tired spiritually. I'm lethargic. Or maybe I have never taken an interest in you. Never mind. let me hear those words. I know that you spoke it to the disciples, and I know that you are speaking it to me. And maybe for the umpteen times, let me listen to those words, that I may pray this prayer aright, that if I should wake up spiritually before I died. I know that your promise to the thief who also died with you would also be my promise. I tell you that this very day you will be in paradise with me if you should die before you wake. Invite the Lord Jesus to come into your life and keep walking with him. Time and again, you and I, we would never regret it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We ask that you would always wake us up with these simple words, come and see. Lord, sometimes we don't listen well. Sometimes we put you aside, we turn and walk our own way, but do the same nagging, for it is for our own spiritual good. We pray, O Lord, that you will help us to just obey, to come before you, to see that you are the Lord, and to put our trust in you. Do it for us. Do it for our family. Do it for our loved ones, our friends, our colleagues who are not yet believers. And do it for this church so that this church, your people, wherever they may proclaim the good news of the gospel. For this, we pray in the very precious and loving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master and our Redeemer. Amen. Come and see. If you are a Christian, Jesus says that come to the Lord's table and see for yourself the love that came down from Calvary. We prepare our hearts to remember Lord Jesus Christ. On Easter Sunday, we remember that he rose again, but we also remember that the Jesus who rose again now lives in our hearts. And he's going to come again, and in between, he asks us to be faithful to him. So as we come to the table of the Lord, let's ask Jesus to make us faithful. Ask him to make us reliable believers, and ask him to make us forgiving and joyful believers. I ask that you would turn with me and let us confess our sins together. We do not want to come to the table of the Lord flippantly. We know we are sinners, and before God, we confess our sins. This is the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to all those who approach his table. Listen, Christ Jesus our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, brothers and sisters, people of God, let us confess our sins before God and one another. I invite you to join me in confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us to joyfully obey you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if, however, we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the good news. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. By this, God demonstrates his own love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you and I are therefore forgiven. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, in your tender mercies, you allow your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. Christ offered himself to be the full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. and he commanded his followers to continue, a perpetual remembering of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we humbly ask of you, and grant that we, receiving these elements of bread and wine, according to Jesus Christ's command, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may become more like him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now join me. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose mercy is unfailing. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, to partake of these memorials of Christ, that we may be filled with the fullness of his life and evermore live in him and he in us. Amen.